following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, coming to you as we always do from Studio 8. Well, not always, but this time out, it looks like we are. For the 99% of the time we've been producing this little show, we have done it straight up from Radioland. So that is, or from Studio 8, which was the original home of Radio Memphis when we started it 6 years ago. It's hard to believe we've been on that long, but there it is. This is, for those of you keeping score, this is episode number 180. 180 straight weeks of sending you material from the darker corners of my head, as well. And this time out, we've included, I guess, some interaction, which is going to be weird. We've been talking about this before. This is the Facebook episode. This is the one that being taped in front of a live Facebook audience. It's kind of cool because I get to see what they're talking about and all that other fun stuff. So there's that. We'll talk about how Facebook and social media seems to be affecting everything as far as the things that are out there and some of the chat that's been going on. So thank you for tuning in. Those that are in the Facebook live chat right at this moment, they're getting a peek as to how this works because I have a camera on in here and we're using some pretty groovy software, not necessarily unique to the system, but I don't have to do this through the phone, which is really delightful. I'm able to sit here at a old school desktop machine that's got a better computing power, and the camera looks pretty good, and it's just a peek, you know, and it just frees me up. I don't have to worry about where the damn phone is. I don't have to screw with any of that business, but this could be a thing. I don't know. But all of you that are in the Facebook Live thing right now, to hear the rest of the show, you'll have to download it or stream it from the usual sources come Sunday. Sunday afternoon. So yeah, Facebook, what prompted me to get into this for this topic this time out was the fact that we were doing some research for Radio Memphis, some analytical study. We look at things like where the audiences come from, where they, how they find us, what it is that they are doing on our website. Most of you people seem to be looking for naked people, apparently, because their search tags are kind of odd. Some of you want to see Diana naked. I don't think that's going to happen. Nevertheless, some of you still want to do that. But one of the data points, as agency people like to point out, is the acquisition of which. So there's a lot of folks that listen to Radio Memphis by virtue of just going to it directly. They perhaps most of you have it bookmarked. Those of you that listen to that station, some of you go directly to it. Some of you are prompted by social media. And what we found that was fascinating about how social media impacts the things that we do at Radio Memphis comes down to the simple statistic that was quite surprising, to be honest with you. I was expecting a completely different outcome, a completely different number. But according to our analytics, if you will, according to the inbound statistics that we get, we don't use tracking cookies. Google does that for us. We're not interested in your data. We're not Facebook or any of that. But social media accounts for just about 40% of the listeners that come to the radio station. It's actually less than that. It's about 37.5%, if memory serves. And that's over the course of, say, a random 90-day period. And when you think about that, it's just a hair over a third of our listeners, as shocking as that may be. You know, when you're talking about over 100, nearly 170 countries, sometimes more, sometimes less. It depends on who's drawing what lines. Approximately 500,000 listeners. And out of that, just a hair over a third of those people come to us by Facebook. And I would have thought that number would have been higher because we do a lot of social media work. We do a lot of campaigns in Instagram. Facebook, of course, which is the granddaddy of them all, and the way that comes about. And it does. It gives one pause, because you do see in the news quite a bit about the power, the depth, the reach that Mark Zuckerberg and company have with Facebook, and where it comes from, where it goes. Who are they touching? They're boasting some massive numbers on their site. They're one of the largest sites existing on the internet. I think they're number two behind Google, shockingly. Both of them have everybody's data anyway. But when you look at the idea of taking an audience and being able to drive them or manipulate them into, I don't know, a website or anything like that, or perhaps purchasing something, this becomes... certainly a viable thing to look at and to consider. And when you're like us, an internet-based company, you do want to spend a few minutes looking at where that is and what that traffic is. And as you know, or may know, Facebook holds your contacts hostage. They hold your friends hostage. They're like an Iranian embassy.
Oh, yeah, so I got to 3,000 friends, and when I do something, they all should see it.
No, that's bullshit. If you want them all to see it, you've got to give them money. You got to pay the ransom. You got to pay the ticket price so everybody can see it. I didn't do that for this show. Wasn't going to. Because even then, there's no guarantee. I think you have to, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a dollar amount you can place per skull on this sort of thing. It's sort of like, I've got to buy a ticket for everybody to come see this. But there's, you got to remember, Facebook is really nothing more than a few lines of code. It's really what it boils down to. And that code contains proprietary algorithmic information of which they can adjust and manipulate. So those that see a particular post, like this one that is occurring on Facebook, on my page, when people share it, people comment on it, people like it, it boosts the other people out there to see it of our mutual contacts or mutual friends and such like that. And that's kind of how that works. But at the same time, as prolific as we are about posting for Radio Memphis, I would have thought that number would have been higher, that 37.5-38% would have been a little higher for as far as those that come into our station. But I think that's fairly indicative of the industry of social media in general. And I think because of that, we have in our minds that Facebook, that Instagram, that Twitter, all of this stuff is really bigger in our minds. It's bigger than what you would think. But in reality, I think it's the other way around. Yeah, everybody's involved with it, but we've all seen that Facebook is filled with, well, quite frankly, unoriginal content. And that's part of the problem. But people still share it. People still do stuff with it. There's comedic stuff. There's if you get your news from Facebook, you're getting it. You're actually getting a reflection of the news, first of all, but you're not really getting it. I'm a big fan of Reddit. That's of course, people are familiar with Reddit. But oftentimes I will see things on Reddit that will show up on Facebook as much as a week later down the way. And it does, it gives one pause as to exactly where is it at, where is it coming from, what is it, what's the driving force behind this, and is it specifically Facebook that controls this? Is it have we made more out of what the social media thing than it really is? Because the question therein lies this. And that is, you see, we've all seen in other places outside of Facebook, if you swim in those waters, there are people who have had enough of it and they've punched out of it. There are those who have never had Facebook accounts. There are those who don't want to deal with it. And some of us will look and I don't know, I'm being critical is probably not the exact correct term I would say. It's like, you know, oh, dude, you know, you seem to be missing out on what's available to you when it comes to the use of Facebook, because look at all these people. But those of you on Facebook right now in the room know very well exactly what Facebook is. It's cat videos. It's a ton of false friends. You know, today alone, I deleted, I think it was like 14 or 15 false friend requests, and it was, you know, some chick, look at my butt. You want to come do me? And she got like three friends. And those three friends are wind up on the mutual friends list. And I know who you motherfuckers are because you guys are twisted. But I wind up reporting those pages because it's not really good for the social media aspect of it. It really isn't. It's just kind of silly. Nevertheless, Facebook is filled with that. It's filled with videos from America's Got Talent, which tell me this, if that show isn't creating that viral content for themselves as strictly a show promotion and you people will share it. Oh, look, it's a kid with no arms playing the piano with his toes. Play Great Balls of Fire and I'll be impressed. But that's just it. There's that. There's cat videos. There's the America's Got Talent. There's the America's Funniest Home Videos. The viral shit that goes around there. There's very, very tiny, small part of Facebook that contains original, fresh content. And even that, you've got to siphon through the Dude Perfect videos. I don't know if you've seen those. It's a bunch of guys, they're frat boys, they're bros, and they're screaming and hollering at each other, and they're making these ridiculous shots, these basketball shots, or throwing frisbees, and there's no substance to it. We just sit there and we just blindly consume this shit from day in and day out, and you might click like, some of you might share it, but for the most part, we consume it. It goes into one ear and out the other. Metaphorically speaking, of course, it just flows through your scroll, which is another beef that I have with Facebook. I'm a fan of the most recent feed settings. I don't like whatever the other one is because I don't use it. I don't like it. Every time I refresh the feed, I always have to reset that because it defaults to the top stories. That's what it's called, top stories. And top stories, it might be something from like 4 days ago, or it might be from 5 seconds ago. It's never really timely. And I guess it's because of my time and being in the business and being in the entertainment business and being in the news business combined, infotainment, that I want to know exactly what is happening now. What are people talking about now? That's the important thing. And Facebook knows this, and they don't necessarily want you to have it because they're trying to broaden that scope. The big stories of the day are what tends to drive people out, and then you have armchair politicians, you have armchair judges, you have armchair quarterbacks, you have all of this out there that can cause a little consternation for somebody who's just like, I'm just kind of wanting to see what it is that people are talking about. If you scroll through my news feed, you'll see that I don't really post a whole hell of a lot. I tend to share things. I tend to, but it's usually stuff either related to this podcast from Radioland or from the radio station, or very rarely it'll be something I may have seen, maybe a photograph I have taken somewhere that I've usually put onto the Instagram and then bounced it back over to Facebook. Of course, you know, Facebook being the owner of said Instagram. And Twitter is fun because Twitter is like Facebook without the Facebook, but we're still talking about three separate media, the social media outlets here, and yet one of them being owned by the other in theory and two, but let's look at just those three: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And when you talk about mobilizing people with this sort of thing, you find, at least it has been with us, just over a third of the people that like what you're doing will act on what it is that you're doing. I guess that's not bad. I've heard in the past, at least before social media, that you can expect about a 2% return, 2.25% return of any type of investment over a long haul of advertisement or papering or anything like that. So 2.25%, I guess, you know, but we're sitting on about a third. So, you know, if it's what, 33%, 34% somewhere in on average, maybe I shouldn't complain. But and it's not like I am complaining. I just found it fascinating that this is the way that the world works when it comes to social media. Now, I will tell you, sitting here right now doing this show, knowing that it is being broadcast live onto social media, onto Facebook, is kind of an odd experience for me.
It doesn't necessarily change, you know, what I'm doing, but it is just it's kind of odd knowing full well that none of this is going to get edited. we're going to release it just the way that it is. I keep using the word air because I do a lot of live stuff, but it just, I don't know, it's just kind of odd thinking that way because I don't know the reach that it gets. You know, it may tell me a counter of 5 or 6 or 7 people or 100, or I don't really know. But I can tell you this, that by the end of the night, as this video sits on that on my page, it will have garnered a ton more views and listens and things like that. And here's what's really remarkable about that is that this is really done really kind of as an experiment for the From Radioland show, that the 325,000, 330,000 subscribers to From Radioland, it'll be interesting to see how this will affect that. Because as part of my, I don't know, unscientific approach here, perhaps taping these shows the way that I'm doing it right now, live on Facebook, might actually help. Because it does seem counterintuitive at times, doesn't it? When you post something, it tends to come back around and then there's an echo. And the echo is not that bad of a thing. What I mean by that echo, it means that yes, this is being taped for a release on another platform that's slick and polished and cleaned up and whatever way. If you can polish a turd, it's about as good as we can get with it. That's what happens. And then out it goes. And then there's those that have said, well, I just saw this taping on Facebook the other day. Why should I give a shit? Why should I download it? I don't know. And it may be the other way around. Perhaps maybe I should videotape it, release the podcast, and then release the video later. I don't know. There's no real magic to any of this. And logic, when it comes to social media, as you well know, goes completely out the window. And because of all of this, you're still left wondering, what the heck have we gotten ourselves into? Because we have been so ingrained with the fact that social media dominates everything. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine out on the West Coast about it. He and I were talking about how Facebook, how deep it permeates into just about everything that it is that we do. And be that as it may, as I told him, I said, you know, I log into it, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. I don't necessarily post anything. I'll catch up on maybe notices, private messages, or anything to that effect. And he stopped me and he said, did you hear what you just said? You said you log into it 3, 4, 5 times a day. That's impressive. Most of us don't turn a television on that many times a day. We're lucky nowadays if you even turn it on at all, because you got it all right here in front of you. You've got everything that you could ever possibly want. Well, you know, Netflix is certainly giving us that. Hulu, everything. It's all there in the palm of our hand, literally. And yet, we still complain, and rightfully so, because some of you bastards need to stop sending the chain shit into the private messenger. That's not what it's for. Oh, for the love of Christ. Caden Smith, that poor fucker, wherever the hell he is, he doesn't have any friends, but he's going to hack your page oh, God. Yeah, you know, you don't want to be, you know, a complete dick about it and just say, you know, I'm just going to unfriend you because you're that guy. You don't want to do that. But it's, you know, because people just don't know better. We're all just sort of blind sheep about certain things. And we're afraid to verify certain aspects of information because we don't want to be exposed to the truth, it seems. We just want to live in our bubble. The world could be coming apart at the seams, but automatically something happens on social media And it takes it away. And it gives the impression that people are, well, you know, all you're being distracted, you know, the president's going to bomb China. You know, he's starting this whole thing, just distraction. It's as if you don't have the ability to maintain more than one thought at one time. And we all know that you can because, well, you people aren't stupid. Well, maybe some of you. Okay, there may be a good number of you that you embrace your stupidity. It's, I kid. Nevertheless, those of us that spend as much time as we do wondering what's going on in social media also creates this other interesting psychological issue. And this is fascinating. It was a fascinating article that had come out. I think it was in the British medical journal called the, is it the, no, it's, I think it's a British medical journal. I can't remember. Not the Lancet, but it was something different. That stated that people that devote a lot of time to social media, a lot of time to Facebook, they
they will inherently become a little more depressed. Especially like this time of year when you got people that are going on vacation and they take pictures. Hey, look at my kid on the beach. I don't want to see your goddamn kid. In my generation, which, God, I sound like an old cranky bastard, you might wind up at a friend's place and the neighbor or whomever, and it's like, hey, we went to Hawaii, and you want to see some slides? And they pull up the slide projector, and everybody sits on the floor, and we're all supposed to act like we give a good goddamn that they went. They spent all this money to go to some place that I'll probably never go to. And we're supposed to act like we're really amused, as though it's just some sort of special moment that our neighbors had done this. But that's what Facebook has kind of become. I've often joked that if there's ever a point where Facebook is shut down for whatever reason, for like, I don't know, they get hacked and I don't know, they're down for like 3 or 4 hours. Oh my God, there'll be complete, in essence, panic in the streets. There'll be people walking around with their phones in their hand, and they'll be picking up pictures and they're holding it in front of people, and they go, you like it? You like it? That's what we've kind of turned into. And we've forgotten the basics of communication. Granted, you know, social media does have its positives, you know, but I'm not sitting here to just badmouth it, because like it or not, it is something we have to reckon with on a daily basis, even shorter than that, hour by hour. I mean, now you release a story and within a half hour, it's dead. There's nothing to it. It doesn't exist. It's in one ear and out the other. You know, O.J. Simpson is granted parole. He leaves prison in October. A good number of you saw it. A lot of you shared that story. A lot of you had comments about it. Most of you could give a shit. I'm one of those. But there for a moment, it was all over the place. And then it just stopped, because the next big thing happened. And that's kind of, I don't know, I guess that's Facebook in a nutshell. It's certainly something to consider. But that's one of the things, when you look at other things like Instagram, and one of the things I like about Instagram is that it forces you into bringing a visual element to your post in the form, mostly, of a still photograph. Everybody's got a goddamn camera, so they can end up taking a picture of everything, and you take it, and you find something that's kind of cute. Maybe it's of your friend, maybe it's of yourself, whatever the case may be. Hey, this is what I'm drinking at the moment, and you post this up there, and you write some snarky little comment, and then it just kind of bubbles about in there. Instagram is so about the moment, the now, which is what I like about it. I think Facebook isn't. I think they pretend to be, but it isn't. But really, the bottom line, out of everything that I've talked about so far, the bottom line is this. We make Facebook out publicly to be the biggest movement of people, when in fact it really isn't. Back in the, I think it was in the early 60s, 61, 62, somewhere in there, and you've heard me talk about this guy before, Hunter Thompson, writer, great writer, wrote a book called Hell's Angels. And it was his first real nonfiction book, and he joined the organization, and he got into it from the inside, and he wanted to learn what it was about. The subtitle to that book is The Making of the Menace, and he basically lays it out. Yes, these were a dangerous group of guys, and they did have some nefarious ideas that they were running with, and the things that they were doing were certainly not considered to be, you know, proper or wholesome. But that wasn't the issue of the story. The story was this, that Time magazine specifically had made the Hell's Angels group out to be this massive organization of these loose outlaws that were rolling from city to city, and they were out raping and pillaging and stealing and just setting fire to shit in general, when in fact there were just a loosely collected group at that time, and they weren't really that, there wasn't that many of them, and they didn't want that much trouble. They were reluctant to let Thompson in, but they did. They ultimately kicked his ass, nearly killed him over it. But it was the making of a menace as something that the media had done. The mainstream media, and I know that's bringing up that whole dirty thing. It was the mainstream media, bro. It's like, you know, it's a conservative campaign to, you know, blah 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 blah. Shut up. It's not that. I think that the media certainly does, the mainstream media, as ridiculous as that sounds. Is there a secondary stream of media? It's all the same, really. We have been exposed to so many people that have been talking about ad length, ad nauseum, about how large Facebook is and how deep it is and what all it contains. But as I've mentioned early on, it doesn't contain a whole hell of a lot. Bill Gates said it best, and we'll leave it at that, that in the coming age of the internet, I'm paraphrasing, I'm trying to recall this from memory, I'm working with no script. In the coming age of the internet, content is king. And he's correct, and he was correct then, and he's never been more correct than now. Newton Minow, along the same lines, referring to television, this was in the late 60s, early 70s, at a speech he was giving to the National Association of Broadcasters, Newton Minow delivered this beautiful speech. Look it up. You can find it anywhere. There's a whole Wikipedia entry on it.
It's Wikipedia, bro. It's a liberal thing.
Newton Minow referred to television in general as a vast wasteland. This is what he was referring to. This is, you can remember, television at this point was becoming a little more mainstream, if you will. Everybody was to the point in the 60s that you could become in proximity of a television, whether you owned one or not, you could get to one. And a lot of people did because of the power it wielded. Television gave us everything in the moment, in the now. Now, here we are in 2017. We've got, in essence, a runaway social media giant out there that is filled with boobies and cat videos. Not that there's anything really wrong with that, mind you, but that's what it is, with very little original content. And Newton Minow's words came to me yet again. The only difference is that you could change it now. Instead of television being the vast wasteland, I think Facebook fits that category too, don't you? Facebook. The vast wasteland. I sound as though I'm like some sort of, half-assed college professor that is, trying to write a book.
I'm going to teach a class about social media, and we're going to talk about the vast wasteland of Facebook.
There's not much of an education to that. All anybody has to do is go out there and take a look at it and see where it's at. And you see the state of social media as it is. And use it for what you can. I'm not saying stop using it. I'm not telling you what to do. I've never said that. But at least to, just some points to consider the next time you're sitting there, I know you people do this. You're sitting on the John. I'd like to see the numbers on this. You're sitting on a can, taking a dump, and you got the phone in the hand, and you're just perusing Facebook. And there's always, because when you're doing that, you're sitting there thinking, man, I could make a post right now that could just horrify 5,000 people if I just no, it's bad enough I carry on certain telephone conversations in that position. I'm certainly not going to share all of that on social media. But there again, what else is it for? If it just went away tomorrow, would the world be, I'd be freaked out, but would it be a better place? Would it be fine? The other bit of social media I neglected to bring up, which I should probably talk about, which is Snapchat. I have been asked several times, you on Snapchat?
You on Snapchat, bro? Hey, check out my snaps. You can find me on Snapchat.
No, I'm over the age of 21. I guess it could be said for any social media that could be the case. But nevertheless, it's the way it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. And I guess we're going to deal with it the way that we deal with it. So, go out there, keep sharing your cat videos, your legless people juggling or riding a bicycle with their hands, whatever the fuck that they're doing. Keep doing it. Everybody's opinion matters. And the great leveler that is the internet will come to reckon it all someday, as it has done these years. And that's just it, too. When you start thinking about time and social media, it seems that we've had Facebook a long time. But in essence, we haven't really. I don't know. I think it's less than 6 or 7 years, 8 years maybe. No, it's been longer than that.
maybe nine. But it just seems like it's been with us this entire time. And that's kind of sad because that's just a distortion of time.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
There's a little slice of Americana that happened. I know this happens in other countries as well, but for the most part, this is primarily an American thing. But I came home from work the other day and opened up my mailbox, and inside was a one of those tear apart envelopes that came from the office of the Sheriff Courts Building, and immediately in big bold letters this is legal notice, and I'm like, oh shit, now what? What is this? What have I done? Turns out I've done nothing, because it says underneath legal notice, official jury summons. That's right. Yours truly has been selected for jury duty. Yeah. In all my years, I've never been selected for it.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, that certainly was an unusual experience. taping this show, man, it's odd. I have this sudden, different change of mode here. Because after I did the taping of that part that, you know, that happened before the tease there, I chatted a little bit with those on the Facebook there, and still hanging around the chat room. I answered a couple of questions and stuff. Turned everything off, and I came back, and I sat back, and I said, I need to do this part of the thing. And now, I don't know, it feels different. It just feels like it's just such a, strange weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I don't know why. It's not like I was nervous or anything. It was just, it's different. It's odd. Having a camera looking at you, I mean, you get used to that sort of thing. You forget that it's there, actually. But it is. It was an interesting experience. I'm sure we'll be doing more of those. We'll see how this goes out, how this affects us. I don't know. We may tape it next time and release it as a live video. Fuck, I don't know. Oh, that'd be voice track. You can't voice track on FaceTube. Do whatever I want. FaceTube. That's what it is. That's what I just said. Did I said FaceTube? Oh Lord, have mercy. It's about what it is, though, isn't it? It's like it's FaceTube. It's tube of your face, brah. All right, enough of that nonsense. Let's get into it. Let's get into some tunes. We were fortunate enough this previous Sunday to have this gentleman in studio. He's a great, great guy. He's been a longtime friend of Radio Memphis. His music is very certainly eye-opening, very catching. He's a dynamic North Mississippi artist. He's constantly traveling. It's the world tour, if you will. We caught up with him. Actually, he caught up with us. He was able to drop into the studio. Had the one-band Mississippi Stomp Machine working, which was fun because it was him singing, play guitar, harmonica, playing drums, which consisted of a kick drum, a snare, and a hi-hat, all at the same time, playing rhythm lines and bass lines all the same. It's fantastic. He's got a brand-new record out. It's called Outlaw Justice. We're going to play a cut from it that's in regular rotation at Radio Memphis. It's a great tune. It's called Big Rock, and here it is. This is Lightnin' Malcolm from Radioland.
Lonesome trip when I be back this way, 'cause you
Lightning and Malcolm from Radioland. Big Rock, grab the album Outlaw Justice. You can download it at all the usual spots. You can go to lightningandmalcolm.com. I believe you can get it from in there. Order a copy of it. Go to one of his shows. If he shows up to a town near you, go. Trust me, you will enjoy it. And get you a copy of it. And hang around. He'll sign it for you, too. He's a great guy. Lots of fun. Tell him we sent you.
I heard Rick talking about you, and he said you're like really good and stuff. And we came out and we ran drinking, and we like what you did with the thing.
Yeah, don't be that douchebag. You know the one, you know, the guy that hangs around. You know, Wayne. That's his name. It's always like some guy named Wayne. You know, he's like the first one to the show, the last one to leave. It's all effed up. You know, you're trying to do your best as an entertainer. You're signing shit. You know, and Wayne's. Hey, you know, remember on your first album, you know, when you were doing that thing with the guy on the bass and y'all did some different stuff. And how did you record that? What kind of strings do you use? What's in the box? So you want to like go and hang? You want to go like, you know, go see some strippers or something? I'm kind of into that thing. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. All right, kids, that's it for this time. You've heard what's coming up on the next go-round of this episode of show, this next show, this whatever it is that we're doing next week. Thank you again for tuning in. Our thanks to everybody that was in the Facebook Live thing over there. That video is still up on my page somewhere. You'll have to find it if you want to see it and see how it's you've already heard it. There is that, but this is it. Those of you that didn't know that I was doing this on Facebook or were unable to see it, you could see all the before and the after stuff, and they didn't get to see this part. So this is like our little moment. This is our little moment when we can be together alone. No, that's just too creepy. I gotta go. Well, y'all take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for the God's sake, please don't shoot each other. Just stop it with that. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.